This is Ozarks at Large. Yesterday, we began the program with a story about a nearly 90-year-old piece of artwork recently restored, a mural inside the lobby of the historic Washington County Courthouse. Today, we move from the past to the present and the future.
Be mindful of your surroundings and stay with the group. When we get there, we will walk across a little bit of gravel and then up a little wooden ramp.
A few instructions yesterday morning to invited guests and members of the media as they rode a school bus to the grounds of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art.
Anybody in a yellow vest or a neon shirt can direct you. After the presentation, we'll board the
Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art isn't ready to open to the public, but yesterday a sneak preview of the museum in progress included a chance to see some of the views that will be available from the finished structure. And also included a few new announcements, including acquisitions of works by a pair of the pillars of the pop art movement. Don Bacigalupi, the executive director of the museum, addressed an audience seated in white folding chairs inside what will eventually be a grand opening space of the museum. He made his announcements as heavy equipment worked behind him.
This is a remarkable portrait painting by the artist Andy Warhol. Many of you know the name Andy Warhol, one of the most important American artists of the 20th century. Warhol, famous for painting celebrities, superstars, and many other themes. Toward the end of his life, he died in 1986. In 1985, he painted this extraordinary portrait of our friend Dolly Parton.
The acquisition of Andy Warhol's 1985 portrait of Dolly Parton with his familiar swatches of vibrant color means the artist perhaps most associated with pop art will be represented in Crystal Bridges. The large painting of the country music icon was done late in Warhol's career, about 2 years before his death. Another recently acquired work represents the early portion of another important artist's work. The sculpture Standing Explosion Red is a rather rare three-dimensional example of Roy Lichtenstein's work. The artist is best known for his use of comic book themes and big dots to create art. Again, Don Bacigalupi, the executive director of Crystal Bridges.
This is an unusual work by Lichtenstein in that he was primarily a painter. Painter, you'll all recognize his paintings inspired by comic strip illustrations. And Lichtenstein had a very long and distinguished career in pop art. He made very few sculptures, and we've acquired one of his very interesting and very lively sculptures. It's called Standing Explosion. It stands about this high, and when you greet it, it is kind of the announcement of pop art. It's a very loud, explosive way to announce the arrival of the pop artist generation, so we're delighted to have it.
The Lichtenstein sculpture, about waist high, looks as if it is a comic balloon that should accompany a punch from a 1960s superhero. Those acquisitions, announced for the first time yesterday, balance the collection toward the present. Another work announced yesterday was painted more than 200 years ago.
You all have to keep this under your hats because we've not even planned to announce this one yet. We only acquired it a couple of weeks ago, but I did want to share it with you. It's one of the earliest works in the collection, a painting from 1808 by Benjamin West called Cupid and Psyche. And as you can see, it's in a very different mode, a very different part of our history, very different subject, Cupid and Psyche, a mythological scene from the early 19th century. Benjamin West, and the reason I wanted to share this with you, especially after showing you Andy Warhol, you might argue, was the most internationally known of American artists in the 20th century. Benjamin West was undoubtedly the most internationally known American artist in the early 19th century. He was probably America's first superstar artist. He was traveling the world. He was, in fact, the first American and only American president of the Royal Academy in London. Imagine that. And he lived both in the United States, born in Pennsylvania, lived in the U.S. as well as in Europe, and painted on both sides of the Atlantic, and in many ways introduced American art to the world stage. And so we're delighted to have this first work by West enter our collection. It's a major work by him, a very important work, and we're thrilled to have it.
Where am I going to come into the complex?
Right here.
Right here.
Right. This is from the parking garage. This is the elevator.
The Warhol-Lichtenstein-West triple announcement surprised and impressed many of the invited guests inside the shell of the in-progress museum. But for some, even more exciting was the chance to explore a few hundred square feet of the structure. Practically every view available allowed a glimpse of the museum under construction, framed by the trees that surround the Crystal Bridges footprint.
This is the courtyard straight down. Just past this, the elevator, that's the courtyard.
And then just to the right.
No dates for the expected completion or opening of the museum were announced yesterday, though the promise of such information coming relatively soon was made. But important elements of two staples of the contemporary museum landscape, the museum restaurant and the museum gift shop, were discussed. And both of those announcements involved familiar local names. Casteguero was named the museum's food and beverage director. The former owner of Soul Restaurant in Fayetteville and food editor of Cityscapes magazine will oversee the development of food and beverage at the museum. The gift shop's interior will be designed by Marlon Blackwell and his firm based in Fayetteville. Blackwell and his firm were selected after a national competition. The architect says he's excited about the different influences he and his staff are incorporating into the design.
Its inspiration comes from influences as diverse as, you know, Faye Jones, Agnes Martin, and our own Leon Niehaus, who you may know is a fantastic basket maker from Huntsville. But we were introduced to his work. His work will be marketed in the museum store, along with a whole host of other local artists. There's a whole area in the store dedicated to local Arkansas artists. What we thought was very important to look at the local craft and the material culture, those materials that are raw and then refined for use. And Arkansas produces a lot of hardwoods. And so, in particular, cherry and walnut will be used throughout the store, the floors, the walls, the ceiling. And it will use the latest technologies, CNC milling. It's a kind of digital computer way of routing material. So we're going to use over 280 cherry plywood ribs to that will hang from the ceiling to create a surface form that's inspired by the underside of a mushroom called a lamella. So it'll be able to filter light as well as air and create a kind of an envelope, let's say, in the store. And all of that, too, will be, our hope is it'll be locally made and manufactured.
Don Bacigalupi says yesterday's string of announcements is an example of the balances Crystal Bridges is trying to make, classical and contemporary, national and local.
We're going to be a very unique museum by virtue of the place, the gorgeous Ozark setting, and bringing together, you know, the best of American art and culture in this very specific place. And so we're availing ourselves of local talent, local craftsmen, local materials in every way we can, and bringing the best to bear on this museum.
And you can see a sideshow of many of the views of the still under construction museum at our website, ozarksatlarge.com.